Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, we're heading to Amarillo in a little while here on May 14th through the 16th. The Santa Fe New Mexican, the paper in Santa Fe that generally isn't friendly to Republicans, is saying that's not a good idea. And let me quote this to you real quick, and then I'll let you respond. With politics as theater instead of as means to produce policy and persuade voters, it's no wonder the state Republican Party has decided to hold its political convention in Texas. It's the state whose policies most appeal to it. Then further on in the article, now to emphasize their point about the New Mexico COVID-19 restrictions being too severe, Republicans are traveling to Amarillo for their state convention, a decision expected to have a $346,000 impact on the city of Amarillo. The money would be better spent somewhere in New Mexico, even if the convention had to be smaller to fit current COVID-19 guidelines. Your comments as chairman of the Republican Party.
Well, first of all, they should be taking this up with the governor, not with me. We're simply doing what the governor insists and taking our businesses out of the state. She's insisted that a lot of small businesses close down in New Mexico, and the big box stores, you can keep them open. But then the idea that we could bring that $346,000 here rather than there, simply the math doesn't work because they themselves in the article say that it would have to be a smaller venue. Well, that means it's going to be smaller revenue. But you know the biggest thing, Derek, that we're facing? We faced it with Kevin McCarthy. He came into one of the southern counties, and the governor had the state police show up. It was an embarrassment. We could not run the risk of bringing two of the most high-profile Republicans into New Mexico, having the state police show up and escort them out of town. All of that would have been the next ad that was run against both Jim Jordan and Kristi Noem. We didn't feel like that we wanted to run that risk with such high-profile speakers. So again, it's the governor's policies that are forcing us out of the state, and the governor is forcing oil companies out of the state. She's forcing a lot of businesses to go elsewhere. She's forcing people to take their kids to Texas to go to school because of the way she implemented her school programs. So again, I would respectfully say that the Santa Fe New Mexicans should take their complaints to the governor, not to me.
And once again, Operation Freedom, if folks would like to join you, is May 14th through the 16th in Amarillo.
May 14th through the 16th. Again, it's a weekend getaway, but also Saturday is a full work day. We start at 8 o'clock in the morning, go to 5 o'clock in the evening. Kristi Noem, she's the governor of South Dakota. She's speaking on Friday evening to the group. And then Saturday evening, we have Congressman Jim Jordan. Of course, Jordan has been really mixing it up with Dr. Fauci here lately. And Governor Noem would have showed the New Mexico governor how we can run a state. She never shut down anything. She never shut down her schools. She never shut down her businesses. She does not have a mask policy to this day, never has had one. And yet her state has a thriving economy. Their results from COVID are not much different than New Mexico's. And so with all of the punishment to our economy, to our jobs, to our students, New Mexico's in not much better shape, or in fact, no better shape than what South Dakota is. There was an interesting article this week in the Epoch Times about Governor DeSantis, that April 21st through 27th issue. You should look at it. But Governor DeSantis admits that he made a mistake in shutting down his state. And he just outright says that we should never have done it, that it's hard to bounce back. His state is bouncing back better than most. And if ever there was a time when people wanted the answer to the question, why do we need Republicans? Take a look at the economy of the Republican states. Take a look at the jobs of the Republican states. Take a look at the education system in the Republican states. And you have your answer. Comparing those to the Democrat-run states, you have your answer. Why we need Republicans. This is the exact reason right here.
The Arizona State Senate has called for an audit of the 2020 presidential election to find out if it really was or not a fraudulent election in Arizona. And the Democrats are sending lawyers to Arizona to oppose that. You'd think they would want an audit to show that it was a fair and honest election.
You're asking the key question here. If the election was fair with no funny business, like the Democrats are claiming all across the country, then they should welcome the audit to prove exactly that. I applaud the state Senate in Arizona because they are doing what the rest of the states wish they would do. New Hampshire has also got a full audit going on in one section where there were at least, it looked like 13% votes that appeared out of nowhere. 13% is a huge number. It's the equivalent of 26% if it's taken from one candidate and given to another candidate. You you double the amount. And so when you start talking about a quarter of the election is unexplainable, they're auditing those books. And so this in Arizona is going to be a full recount. Every ballot will be recounted. If there's no problem, then it should be bragged about. If there is a problem, then it should be corrected. And that's what the Republican states are trying to do. The Democrat states are trying to make it harder to count votes, making it harder for people to oversee the results of the election. The House Bill 1, which is always the most important bill in any Congress or any legislature, House Bill 1 is manipulating the election system nationwide. And so Republicans are fighting back, and this is one of the ways we're fighting back.
Let's say, just hypothesize here, that enough states show that it was a fraudulent election and that in their states, and not just Arizona, let's say Michigan and some of the others, and it shows that President Trump actually won. What would happen?
There's not going to be an overturn of the presidency. We have President Biden sworn in. What would happen is it would become a greater push for ballot security, for real reform. So, Derek, one of the things that I saw in the news this last week is that the FBI came out with a report on the baseball field shooter. You remember that's when that guy took a high-powered rifle, went out to the baseball park. I was there that morning. You always show up about 5:30 and you start practice and you'll finish about 7:30 and then get back and run your day. But he started shooting, fired off 100 shots before the police were able to corner him and then ultimately shoot him and kill him. And so the FBI released a report saying that that wasn't terrorism. That wasn't someone out to kill Republicans. He was there to commit suicide by cop, is what they said. And nothing could be further from the truth. He asked one of the players who was leaving early, are these Republicans? And the guy stopped and visited with him a second and said, yes, we're Republicans. Democrats are there over on the other side of town. Then he had a list of Republicans that he wanted to shoot in his pocket. And then he sat there and fired off 100 shots. That's where Steve Scalise suffered a life-threatening wound. One of our staffers was shot through the back. The bullet exited out his chest. Somehow he survived. Five people were shot that day, and the FBI says that he was just out to get the police to shoot him. The thing that doesn't make sense about that is that no one knew that there were police there. If Steve Scalise, who has security detail assigned to him, if he had not been at practice that morning, we would not have had any police protection at all. They're the only thing that saved 30 or 40 congressional lives because they were returning fire with their pistols. He had his high-powered rifle, and he couldn't get off clean shots. It was approximately 10 minutes before the police actually showed up when the shooting started. The Arlington police did show up. I was sitting right at the area where they were coming in. So 10 or 11 minutes, irreparable harm would have been done to Republicans. And so to have an agency just mischaracterize this for political reasons, that's the reason that many people don't trust our government. That's what President Trump said he was going to clean up, is this inside shadow government that will put out political findings in order to obscure the truth. The truth was we had someone out there to kill Republicans. He was obviously politically motivated, and yet the government covered it up so that years from now, when someone is studying the history, it will only show up as a person that committed suicide using police force to do that. And so what a shame that we have agencies who will mischaracterize things in that way. Well, Derek, I want our listeners to stay tuned for the next segment. We have Josh Hernandez. He's the representative from District 60 in Rio Rancho. It's going to be an exciting discussion with him. So stay tuned for the next segments of Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, and it is time to bring in our guest this week. Steve?
Derek, as we mentioned in the first segment, we're joined by a very special guest today, one of our class of exciting new freshmen, Josh Hernandez, representative from District 60. Josh, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Chairman.
Tell us a little bit about District 60. Where is it? What kind of demographic is it? What sort of voters do you appeal to, and what do you have to worry most about?
District 60 is the southern portion of Rio Rancho, mostly an urban area. I took over after Representative Tim Lewis decided to step back after 10 years. My demographic is about 52% Republican, and we have a high independent number as well. We're a bedroom community. More than anything, we don't have a ton of business. We have been growing for the last 8 or 10 years under the new leadership of the city. We do have businesses popping up every day, so that's a good thing.
What did you do before getting into the state legislature? And I know that it's just a volunteer job. You don't actually get paid to be in the New Mexico legislature. You get per diem for when you're there so you can reimburse the cost of a hotel room or something. But tell us what you do in your other life.
Yeah, I come from a restaurant background. I did that for almost 15 years. But now I actually work in international public relations. We have clients as big as NATO and USAID, but we also do homegrown stuff here with New Mexico charter schools and New Mexico counties and really everywhere in between. We do strategic communications and planning and outreach, lots of stuff that has actually benefited me in the legislature and running for the legislature. And I can put that to good use as these campaigns keep going.
So as we talk about one of the major problems in New Mexico, education is always at the top of everyone's list. It's the biggest problem. The unions have been running our schools for decades, and our schools show that. So I heard you say that one of the groups you represent are the charter schools. Tell me how difficult it is to set up a charter school. Tell me the pluses and the minuses for the listeners out there who are going to obviously be looking for something else for their kids. A lot of parents are saying they're just never going to take their kids back into this public school system. So talk a little bit about the charter school option.
And especially during COVID, nobody can blame any parent for not wanting to put their child back into a public school in our state. Public schools, or really the education department, I feel like there is no standard and repercussions. They spend more than 50% of our budget. There is no standard of education that the legislature or the state government holds them to, and that's unfortunate. And so charter schools, which I'm a big supporter of, even before the little bit of work that we did for them, is really an amazing alternative. They graduate or teach kids at such a higher level of education. And in my first legislative session, I was helping across the aisle with one of the new senators to get just a basic charter school bill passed. And it shocked me how much the legislature and especially the other side just absolutely despises the charter school system. And that has to change. The charter school system in our state is where the best quality education is coming from. And I have to say that Rio Rancho Public Schools is one of the best school districts in the state as well. But the charter schools are a unique program that really teach our children the best and most effectively out of anybody in the state. So we need to get behind them for our children and give them the education that they need to be the best that they can.
Sure, they're going to be competing with students from all around the world. It's a world economy. And when we don't give our kids the best education possible, then what we do is make them uncompetitive. They're not going to get as good a job. They're not going to have a pay which is as high. And long term, it spells disaster for the U.S. And you made a point there that I would like to emphasize. That is that the public schools hate charter schools, but they also hate homeschooling. They hate the private schools. They hate the religious-based schools. They hate anything that the union is not getting the paycheck off of, and that's from 20 years of watching them in action. When I went to the state legislature in 1997, my freshman year, there was a recent incident in Hobbs where one of the students had started screaming the F word at the teacher, picked up a desk and hit the teacher. The teacher was going to kick him out of the room, out of his class. He carried him down to the office. The kid beat him back to class, and the administration was so desperate for the dollars that they would not let that student be suspended, because that then cuts down by one person the amount that they get compensated for. So I put a bill in that simply says you can't hit teachers with desks. The Albuquerque Teachers Union controls the state legislature to a large extent, and that bill was killed in the education community by one of the teachers who was serving as a state rep at the time, Gail Chasey. She's still there. So when we're fighting for students, we're fighting against the Democrats in the legislature, we're fighting against the unions, and we're fighting against just the sheer lethargy of the system.
Absolutely. That's 100% spot on.
And again, to our listeners, we're talking with Representative Josh Hernandez. He's from Rio Rancho in District 60 in the State House of Representatives. Now, what committees did you get assigned to, and what was the most important thing that y'all discussed in those committees this year?
I got Tax and Rev with Representative Jason Harper, who has been just fantastic getting me caught up to speed on all things Tax and Rev in our state. And I also got put on the Labor Committee, which is not nearly as fun, mostly anything that has to do with the unions or labor. So we heard minimum wage, we heard the sick leave bill. All of the worst things that we encountered this year came through that committee. We were able to kill a couple of them, including the real estate transfer tax. All of the bad stuff came through labor this year.
So to our listeners, again, I would point out that when Representative Hernandez says that he's on the Tax and Rev Committee, understand that there are two major committees. One is Tax and Rev, which he is on. The other is Appropriations. And if you're on one of those two committees, you're going to see almost every bill in the legislative process. As a freshman, I got put on Appropriations. I had requested it. I'm good with numbers, good with budgets. And I found out that in my 4 years in the state legislature, I learned more than a lot of people who had been there 15 and 20 years. I'd be articulate on a wider breadth of issues just because we heard those issues and you'd hear them in depth. And so to our listeners, we're talking to one of the stars of the Republican class. Obviously, others thought he's in that category because they placed him on the Tax and Rev Committee. You put your heavyweights there. You want your best voices on those committees. So tell me a little bit about the current state of the New Mexico budget and what you see coming in the future.
The budget this year, as it has been for quite a while, is just a mess. We are funding everything for everyone. We are giving health care to immigrants. Like I said, education, which we are in the bottom couple of states, is still getting more than half of our budget. The one nice part about the budget this year is we didn't think that we were going to get any capital outlay because of the COVID pandemic, and me as a legislator ended up getting about $1.4 million that went straight into the district and the community for a lot of things that we needed. But the budget overall, there was a lot of things that we can fix and money that we can move to make to work better for our state.
We'll be back with Steve Pierce talking to our state representative from District 60. That's the Rio Rancho area. Josh Hernandez. This is Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. Let's get back to our interview with Steve Pierce, chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, talking with State Representative Josh Hernandez from District 60.
For everyone, a key point happens in the first legislative process. You've run for office, you have to go out, and that's a job of marketing yourself. But once you're successful in your campaign, then you actually have to start serving. So tell me a little bit about your impressions of your first legislative cycle, that 60-day session. I can recall my first 60-day session vividly, so tell us about your impressions.
So, yeah, it's definitely a change from marketing yourself, and then you have to serve, and you get there on opening day. I'm not sure how many people listening have ever been to an opening day or watched an opening day, but that's a spectacle in itself. It's like nothing else is that first opening day. And this year was different. As we all know, there was nobody allowed in the Capitol. We were fenced in. The public were let into the people's house. And it was different. Instead of it being a happy day because you are seeing your friends and you're ready to get to work, it was very somber. And the rest of the 60-day kind of kept going on that. It just wasn't the same. same, and I'm ecstatic that I got to be a part of it, and that there was a couple of good bills that passed, a lot of bad bills that passed, things that are really going to affect, I mean, everybody in New Mexico, businesses, families, our children with education. It's an experience like none other. It's definitely something I will remember for the rest of my life, because there is nothing like it. And now that I'm in it, I have learned a ton, and I look forward to representing the people of District 60 for as long as they'll have me.
So you always have circumstances and moments that you remember, and like you said, you'll remember them forever. For me, it was about year three in my tenure in the state legislature. Raymond Sanchez was Speaker of the House. In the last hour of the session, and you know how chaotic it got, then they decided they were going to push a very extreme bill. We had a couple of our members who were gone, so I put a call on the House, and Raymond was furious, and people were screaming, both Republicans and Democrats, because they knew they were going to have to drive to Roswell and find these people, and we couldn't vote, and we couldn't go home until that call of the House was put on, and Raymond was screaming from the podium, and Republicans were coming up shouting at me, and I was just standing there, and finally I said to the Speaker, "Speaker, there is one motion that supersedes the call of the House," and he says, "What's that?" And I said, "You know what it is, sir. I would recommend," and it was the adjournment. And so we kept him from passing his bill through that adjournment, but it was probably 5 minutes of sheer pressure, because even my team was shouting, everybody's going to go home at that point. So tell me about your point in time that in this first 60-day session that really stood out for you personally.
So I was a sponsor with a couple of people with our Republican whip this year, as well as a couple of people from the other side. It was House Bill 255, which was the liquor license reform and alcohol delivery, one of the biggest economic development bills that happened this year, the first liquor control bill that's passed in over 35 years. So being able to work through that and work with the people from my background and meeting a whole lot of people that were in that industry and having that bill actually be signed, there's nothing quite like that. Working so hard on something that ultimately actually passed is an experience like no other. There was lots of things. I saw my first call of the Senate. There wasn't a call of the House this year, but watching the whole process for a call of the Senate and people not being in the building or anywhere close, and watching how that all went down, you're right, it's a lot of pressure and it's a lot of emotion when that happens. So that was one of them. The biggest thing that stands out in my mind is the Friday before the last day of the session, I was tapped by our leader and our whip to really run strategy for that last day of monitoring what was passing the Senate so that we knew what was coming to our side, to see what the priorities for the Senate, both the Democrats and the Republicans, were. And ultimately that day we made a deal to get some of our bills passed, to get some of the other side's bills passed. And I was an integral part of making all of that happen. And that's really where I shine, is when we come to the strategy portion of everything. I was able to kind of weigh what we needed in order to make a deal and what they wanted. And we were able to kill some really bad bills that day. Just by getting that deal done, we were able to get some of our good bills through. An anti-pyramiding tax bill went through that day. A UNM Cancer Health Center bill went through that day. So lots of good things by just being able to work across the aisle. But that was a lot of strategy. And that was a really proud point for my first legislative session, was being tapped by leadership to take part and really run that whole portion.
Well, folks, we've been visiting with Representative Josh Hernandez, District 60, the southern edge of Rio Rancho. And as he's telling that story, I will tell you that it's very rare for a freshman to be tapped to be such a piece of the strategic process. So, Representative Hernandez, thank you very much. Appreciate your time on the program today. We look forward to visiting with you many times in the future. But until then, God bless you. Keep you and your family healthy and safe. And thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you so much, Chairman. I had a great time talking with you today.
The state of New Mexico has been given $1 billion from the federal government to help us deal with the pandemic. The question is, who decides where the money goes? The governor thinks it's her. Here's a story from KOAT Action 7 News in Albuquerque.
There's a fight brewing over how to spend billions.
Every New Mexican has a stake in how this money should be spent. Why does the governor think she has all the answers?
The feds gave the state $1.6 billion in pandemic relief. During the last legislative session, a bipartisan group determined how it would be spent. But on Friday, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham said not so fast and did a line item veto over that money in the state's budget.
This is money to help New Mexico chart a new course forward.
In her veto message to lawmakers, the governor said some of the appropriations did have merit, but legislators did not have the power to tell her what to do with it.
We all remember Schoolhouse Rock. And it taught us a very important lesson. It is the legislature, the people's representatives, who hold the power to tax and spend.
Progressive lawmakers like Jacob Candelaria usually have the governor's back, but not on this issue.
I don't think any of us want to live in a society where one person alone, gets to decide how much you are taxed and how that money is spent.
Everybody's going to be hurt by this.
Businesses are worried about the veto because $600 million of it was supposed to go into the state's unemployment fund that has run dry. One of the ways to fix that is to increase unemployment taxes on business.
When employers are faced with those significant rate increases, they don't have any choice but to raise the prices of their products or services because they've got to cover those costs somehow.
Carla Sontag of the New Mexico Business Coalition said she doesn't care who decides as long as the money goes to help businesses.
The governor's office told us that a separate piece of legislation did put $300 million of state money into the unemployment fund.
That story from KOAT Action 7 News. If you've been listening to our program and would like to get more information on the Republican Party of New Mexico, please check out the website at www.gopnm.org. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you'd like to talk to somebody at the Republican Party of New Mexico, call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We'll look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.